the Gentlemen's Club Podcast. The place where we come to talk about the best IDP, Dynasty, Keeper, Fantasy Football League to ever exist on the face of the planet. Now, time for the show.
And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the NFL.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Gentlemen, the regular season is done. We are back behind the microphones again to talk all about it on the best fantasy IDP keeper dynasty league that has ever existed on the face of the planet. That's right. I am here with our esteemed, probably should have won some awards already at this point in the fantasy football world, commissioner himself, Andrew Clark. How are you, buddy?
I am good, bro. What's up?
I'm doing great. You know, while your JV basketball team might be shooting a wildly combined 22.5% this season. We are much better than that. We're cooking on like 100% right now, dude, as a GC podcast. So
I will take it.
We're rocking and rolling. I mean, it's been a fun end of the season. There's been some fun things to talk about that we'll get to. We've got kind of some awards and thoughts on teams and players and rookies and all that sort of stuff. But first of all, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm excited the playoffs are here. It's interesting, like the last couple of weeks, like I've been excited and we've got to record an episode or two and whatnot. But I've kind of known I was going to make the playoffs the last like 3-4 weeks. So it's not been as like exciting. Mm-hmm. But now that the playoffs are here, it's like, feel like that rejuvenated, like, okay, like, here's the home run trot. Like, here it is. And yeah, I'm doing well. I'm excited to have the bye. I have a handful of injuries. I get to start Justin Jefferson for the first time and then watch him get thrown a hospital ball by the Pastronaut. And then kind of had a heart attack there, and hopefully he bounces back. But a week off, we'll hopefully get some of these guys like Pacheco and whatnot healthy. So yeah. I'll take it. I was talking with a buddy about Dobbs, you know, and how tragic he has become since learning the offense.
Yeah, I know. His first game, he came in, he knew nothing, and he looked like the savior for the Vikings.
They literally were talking about not re-signing Kirk Cousins, and they're like, hey, did we find some guy? Is Josh Dobbs the dude?
Well, he was the guy that couldn't even find the locker room, right? Like the first game before.
I had no idea. And then it slowly had come out that like basically Kevin O'Connell would talk in his ear all the way until the communication shuts off. Because at some point, they get a certain point on the field, and you can't talk anymore.
Right.
And I guess like O'Connell was straight playing Madden football with him. Like was literally just like feeding him everything he could right up until it was stopped. And then Dobbs would go out and do his thing. But literally since learning the offense, he's become the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. It's so bad.
And I'm just like, how is that possible?
He makes Zach Wilson look good. I mean, on Monday or whatever it was, Zach Wilson looked pretty good, but
Wilson balled out. Yeah. But I'm just like, how do you go from like, I don't know anything, thus I'm the best, to, okay, now I know stuff and I can't do my job anymore.
Well, I mean, that's to be fair, like there's something about like not everyone who knows how to play street ball can translate that into like organized basketball, right? Like,
sure.
And so, I mean, he's going out there and he's having fun. He's like, all right, I've got no pressure. I've got no stress. Like, I don't have to do it. Sure. Like, I just have to go out there and throw, right? So there is a freedom in that. Yep. That then once there's like all this pressure, be like, okay, crap, now I have to make all these calls.
Now
like,
I understand.
All of a sudden, I freeze up. You're just like, oh, shoot, now I can't do this. Crap. What if they find out I'm a fraud? Oh no, son. We didn't need to find that out. We just know now.
Just wild. And I love the image of his parents sitting in the stands because they wanted him to be an astronaut. Because he's like literally could be an astronaut. And his parents both like are incredibly intelligent and like that's what they wanted for his life. And so every time they've shown them in the stands, they have the most stoic, like no response in their face. Like he's bawling out and there's nothing.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, he's getting CTE. We hate this. Why is he out there?
They're probably like, hey, you should study the playbook because you know you're going to suck and then you'll actually become an astronaut.
You will fulfill our dreams. So, but yeah,
side note of people, yeah, side note of people in the stands. I was at a restaurant on Sunday night with some high school students, and we were watching the Kansas City Chiefs game. Mm-hmm. And it was the play Kadarius Toney offsides. Yep. That we've all seen it at this point. And I remember Travis Kelce throwing that pass, and it was very clear that Kadarius Toney was going to score. And I just stood up and I yelled in the middle of the restaurant. I was like, "Show us Taylor." That was it. It's just like, so I think anytime I'm somewhere where Kansas City is on and they do something, I'm just going to yell that from now on. Just like,
"Oh my gosh, dude." The best part about that whole Kadarius Toney situation is all the comments that, I don't know if you've seen this, there's been a couple like guys tweeting about the way the Chiefs were complaining about it. The language they were using was essentially, "We've done this before. Why are you calling it now?"
Yeah, Patrick like, Mahomes said like, that. He's like, "I've never in 7 years we've done this and never gotten called offside."
And essentially being like, "You've let us cheat up till now. Why would you say something now?" It's almost like it was almost like an admittance of like we've been getting away with things. I'm not in the club of like, oh, the Chiefs always have gotten calls and they're the Chiefs, and I don't believe that kind of stuff. Like refs think that way, but like, but at this point, just straight up be saying like, "We've always bent the rules and no one said anything. Why?"
Well, it's like on the same play, you know, that whole thing. We noticed it in week one against the Lions where the right guard like backed mm-hmm. up, like off. That was happening on that play. Like there's somebody that like his head is behind the center's hips. And it's like, that's kind of like where the ball is and where the center's hips are. That's like where you have to be lined up, at least some part of your body. And his whole body is behind it. So even that on the same play was like, yes, you have a guy offsides and you have an illegal formation all at the same time here. Like,
well, the guy who made that move famous was Lane Johnson, the tackle from the Eagles, because he would do that kick start. It almost looks like he would donkey kick backwards. And he was so quick and so fast at it. It looked like at some level, like, what was he cheating?
Yeah.
But then they've shown video, they do it. It's like, he's just elite. Like he just knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
The dude from Kansas City doing it was literally like,
he's in an illegal formation. Yes, he is.
He's already started back. It's just like it, one of these things is not like the other. Good times. Good times.
Wild football. Wild
Lions football. Lions have resorted back to,
don't say it. Don't. They're in a slump. San Francisco can go through a slump. We can go through a slump, Clark.
It was starting to sip the Kool-Aid. That's the issue.
You know, here's the thing. I think Ben Johnson is purposely sucking right now because he doesn't want to be a head coach somewhere. But then towards the end of the season, like he'll get all of it off of him. People will question whether or not he's going to be good at it or not. And then he'll turn it back on.
Yep. I respect that.
Or Jared Goff just sucks as a quarterback. And he had a couple games where we thought he was all good. I don't know.
Nah, he's had like a season and a half where he thought he was all good. That's the difference. Like,
I know.
You can't just flip it off, I guess. But I don't know.
It does seem like his release has gotten super weird lately. Like he's just throwing he's throwing ducks, man. Like there's just some of them where I'm like, what kind of throw was that? That was,
maybe he's injured. I don't know.
But anyways wouldn't want him on my fantasy team going into the playoffs. That's for sure.
Yeah, him or Matt Stafford, Joe Williams. So nice. Yeah. But we'll talk about that later, I guess.
Sucks to suck, man. Sucks to suck. Oh, man. All right, let's get into it. We're going to talk some regular season stuff first. So let's start out with this, Clark. Biggest surprises from the season as we think back. I mean, I know some people are loyal fans and also co-owners of teams were timestamping some things from earlier episodes, which made us really happy.
I respect that.
What were some of the biggest surprises you had from this season?
I genuinely think Pablo making the playoffs. He started 1-6. Mm-hmm. Like he was in a hole deep enough to like, we signed off on him. Mm-hmm. And you mix that with typical Pablo nature or choices of starting or not starting a roster. It was like really easy to be like, okay. Like, I mean, it is what it is. And in the last half of the season, he really turned it on. I went 5-2 and won enough and did enough and scored enough. And it's just like, that was a massive surprise because it spoke in 100% my opinion. It's what we preach a lot on this podcast. It's like you start your roster and you take 2 minutes, like really 2 minutes, and just at least look at things, how actually like good every team in the GC really is. And week in and week out, there's so many variables that, man, you get a lineup in there, you don't know what can happen. So that for me was one of the big surprises. I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, I think my biggest surprise was either Pablo or I think it's not necessarily a team. I think I was just surprised at like the crazy nature of the trading that happened this season.
I didn't expect like that this
was
year.
That was insane. I mean, the way that some teams just absolutely balled out in trades to try and make it to the playoffs. Or just initiated it to sell. I think that was, we've seen some crazy like trade deadline things before, but nothing that was like that crazy. And I did not expect that sort of trading action to happen in year 10. So I think that was probably biggest surprise from the season. Yeah.
There's like multiple days that felt like the trading deadline, like the trade deadline
for sure.
Like just the action. And then you got the trade deadline have like nothing happen really.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think within that same note, it was almost like guys who, like a Van Camp, I believe, fully dove into the rebuild. But then like an Achterhoff and a Joe Pedersen, like are tiptoeing around the rebuild. Like I would argue.
Yeah,
maybe
I think
Achterhoff,
Pedersen probably tiptoeing more so than Achterhoff.
Yeah, maybe Achterhoff has fully kind of stepped into the rebuild mode. But like, yeah, just interesting just to see multiple teams. And they all stayed competitive to their own right. You know, that's, you know, so kudos to those guys. Like it wasn't a full mail in. I mean, at one point Pedersen almost made the playoffs. Like if Achterhoff would have been in the Timberlake, he literally would have been like a game out of the playoffs. Like, so it's just like he, you know, to credit them, they still remain competitive, meaning they started lineups. They stayed on top of things, but yeah, just entering, having multiple teams entering rebuild like that was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Van Camp being one of them. I mean, we talk about how good of a team he's been for so long. I mean, he's one of the OGs. He's probably had one bad year, which you would label truly a bad year in the 10 years. And here it is, like, I mean, bro's about to have the first two picks in the draft. Like,
yeah, right.
And the number one is the one he owes. Like, he was the worst team this year. So the only thought I had was, I really didn't. I knew Joe Williams. I knew Juicy J was gonna be good. I didn't think he was gonna be that dominant.
Right, right.
That was really like eye opening. Of like, he hasn't been as aggressive on the trade market the last couple of years, and he's kind of drafted very sneakily, I would say. Like, I don't think he's been very out. Like, but he's been taking the draft a little more serious, and like he really has put together, because a lot of the talent he has currently are guys he drafted.
Yeah. I think he had some fortune in his favor too, of like Zeke leaving Dallas, which helped.
Yep.
I think David Montgomery going to Detroit helped, you know, like some of those things I think definitely did help him out, along with, he's just drafted really, really well.
Over Chase the past couple years. Lamb and guys like that, like guys he's taken. Like, I mean, 9-game winning streak, so it was the longest winning streak in the league. And at one point he scored 300 points four times this year, four different times, over 300. So it's like just such a dominant year for him. I just really didn't, I knew he was going to be good. Like, I think we preseason, and I think even Javits in the comments on our post, like, I think we both said that, Juicy's going to have a chance. I just didn't really think it'd be like, oh yeah, no, he's like without a doubt got to be the favorite.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, if nothing else, last week where he lost to Pablo to get in, like
anything's
Jared
possible.
Goff, 27.7 points. So it is,
anything's possible.
It is possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
What about for you? What were some biggest like disappointments?
So I have two. I think, you know, at the beginning of the season, I said Juicy J and Achterhoff in there, and I think I don't know, it's not a disappointment like a bad way, it's just I you know, both of them are this way. It was just like, oh, all right, well, Achterhoff is not a powerhouse anymore. Like, I kind of would have liked to have seen had he gone the opposite way. Like, I think he could have gone really hard for some players. I think probably my bigger disappointment, and it's just because I like none of the pieces could all come together at the same time.
Yep.
Was for team. It was just like with Jonathan Taylor being out and like, but he drafted really well, which was hard. So I was like, oh man, like he had Puka Nacua and Williams and like just these players that he had such a good draft this year that could have helped him out. But just none
they all
of
took
his,
turns being hurt and stuff.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
And then you got Eckler or was Eckler, is that who he ended up with? Mm-mm. Or
no, Swift.
Swift, that's who he's got. Yeah, yeah. So it's like he just like there wasn't nothing just like came together at the right
Herbert
time.
Herbert got hurt. Worst possible moment.
Now he's got Joe Flacco as a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Who Joe Flacco in ESPN still has a Jets jersey on.
So
that's
good.
Just like, so good. You know, so it's like some of those things. It's like we had talked like maybe this is a year where he kind of pulls ahead, but then everything with Jonathan Taylor. So that was just disappointing. Not in like a bad way, but just like
just more of a bummed.
Yeah, I was just kind of bummed for him.
I was really disappointed or bummed out about Broad. Sure. I mean, he just beat me this last week. His the inconsistencies. He was 5-3 this year versus playoff teams, like teams that made the playoffs. He was 5-3 versus them. Threw up massive points at random times, and then just had games where it's like he should have beat Adam like a week or two ago, but he was missing three defensive players and he lost by 2 points, and it was just like just one of those like, dang, like this that we talk year in and year about how good his team truly is, and I mean even he's low key drafted well, like guys like Jaden Reed and some of these guys who have randomly put up really big games for him. So just the inconsistencies, and then my other one was Pedersen before Jover Holiday to be 0-4, 0-5 or whatever he was. Such high hopes. I think the preseason like power rankings, I'm pretty sure like we had him ranked pretty high. I had him fourth in the preseason power rankings.
Wow.
Like high, we're going to be okay. He's going to rock this. And then it was just like the wheels came off or something. And so just one of those kind of almost like a team where it's just like, you saw it.
Yep.
And maybe there's a part of me that's like heartbroken because he gave away Jalen Hurts for like a piece of gum. And that really changed the trajectory of other teams. But, I just had high hopes for now known as Wiener.
What about your regular season MVP? Who do you have that as for the GC?
I have either Tyreek Hill, who plays for Basie, or Jalen Hurts for 2.0.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Their teams literally rise and fall based on how those two guys play.
Yeah, I had Tyreek Hill as well, and then I had Christian McCaffrey as another.
He's my
one.
Runner up.
Like, because Christian McCaffrey, like I was looking at it, he has more points scored than Justin Fields, and Justin Fields is a quarterback. You know, he's got 425 points. The next closest running back, 321.5, like over 100 points difference, which is about the equivalent of 5 games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Realistically, he probably is the MVP. I just think I'm like with my high club, he gets overshadowed sometimes by Mahomes and whatnot, and you kind of forget he's on that team. But I was looking at it from a standpoint of just like, usually if Tyreek Hill has a massive game, Bubba wins.
For sure.
Jalen Hurts has a massive game, Adam wins. So it's kind of that's how I was looking at it. We're like, I think CMC has been absolutely incredible this year. Like, he looks like CMC of like old, if not better, because he runs more almost. Like, he's not even catching the ball quite as much. He's just a way better runner now.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah.
What about you for your rookie of the year?
This was a hard one because I didn't want to choose a rookie that everyone expected to like be really good to begin, right?
Sure.
So I actually chose from, let me find it a second. I chose from Casey's team, Puka Nacua,
mm-hmm.
because he scored 231 points in yeah. fantasy this year, which I think that puts him at like in the top like eight or nine players as wide receivers mm-hmm. as a rookie that no one really thought was going to be that good. I mean, it wasn't a great rookie draft. Like, let's be honest this year, yep. like it wasn't great, but yep. I don't think anyone expected Puka Nacua to do what he no. did as a rookie.
And he definitely got some help because of Cup's injury, but
sure. yeah,
but he still got to perform. And he's still performed fairly consistently with Cup even returning. So yeah. I had CJ Stroud.
Oh yeah.
I just yeah. thought, I mean, same thing, like the rookie quarterback, let's see. And I mean, the fact that they even randomly will mention his name in MVP conversations, I'm just like, bro, ball. And I have Kyren Williams or Puka Nacua is kind of like two guys who it's like you could easily yeah. pick them as well.
My other one was Tank Dell. He was one that I was like, because even more than CJ Stroud, I was like, CJ Stroud's a quarterback, like he could be really good. I was like, I didn't expect Tank Dell to be as good as he was. God rest his leg.
Yeah.
Like, my gosh.
Yep. He definitely balled out. That was pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Especially for like how small he is. Like he's like a DeSean Jackson sort of size, mm-hmm. like just speedy, and you know, it's so fun to watch him out there because I'm just like, he shouldn't be good in the NFL, and he just yeah. is, and it's fun.
Exactly.
It's fun to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what about, maybe last for this topic, like maybe like surprise player, like guy who just like didn't see that coming.
Yeah, mine was actually Kyren Williams for the Rams, because at the beginning of the season, I thought Cam Akers was just going to run it, you know, out there in LA. And I think for me, that was probably the most surprising in that mm-hmm. position. It was just like, oh, all right. Cause I forget what round Casey took him in. Like it was not like early. It was like, it was like fourth or fifth round. It was like, oh man. All right. That's kind of surprising. All right. Yep. There we go.
Yep. I had him or Puka, but I also put David Montgomery.
Yeah.
That's a good choice. I really didn't think he would be as utilized. I thought they would give it to Gibbs a lot more. I thought at the time DeAndre Swift was he still there? Or did they moved him on?
No,
they moved on from him.
Yeah, they moved him.
But it was still just like he was kind of washed up. You know, I'm using air quotes for those who can't see, like leaving the Bears and going to the Lions. It was one of those weird, like, oh wow, he chose the Lions. But dude is like just as good as ever, and it's been a huge piece of the machine that is Juicy J. And so I thought Williams or either the Rams rookies were just like, for both to be good all season, not just flash in the pants, but whenever they've been healthy and played, it's been like, yep, you want them in your lineup. Yeah, so
I think you could argue that about A-Chain too from Miami, like being one of those players. I think another one for me that was kind of surprising was Trevor Lawrence actually mm-hmm. being like a top 10 quarterback or whatever this
totally.
Year. I just didn't know what to expect out of him in Jacksonville.
Yeah, what they say, like A-Chain, I saw a video of, I think Kovaleski sent it to me. It's like A-Chain, all of A-Chain's points came in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like outside of like a 3 week stretch, he has scored like 2 points or something crazy. Yeah. It's like,
that's crazy.
But he has a crazy amount of points from those 3 weeks.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, good regular season, and that kind of sets up the playoffs.
So, Clark, do you want to kind of break it down for us real quick as we and then we'll start talking about like some key players, predictions, things like that, a little bit.
Yeah, so it's official. The Carter will be Team Clark is the one seed with the bye, and then the two seed ended up being Mile High Club, and the three seed ended up being Shefty 2.0, making the playoffs for the first time. I think we said it's like 8 or 9 years. I think since year one, basically.
Yeah.
And so that's the Carter. So my high club's the home team, and we'll see there. And then Juicy J is the one seed in the Timberlake, and the two seed is Bubba's Orange City Yinzers, and then sneaking in last minute, the three seed is 2019 champ Pablo. And so not really what I think any of us predicted the Timberlake would look like. Maybe we thought Juicy J and Bubba might be a lock from that conference as normal, but man, 2019 champ kind of slipping over team. I think we thought Wiener would be in there. It's kind of cool. And then obviously Shefty 2.0 making it in the Carter. Obviously as the season progressed, it became more apparent that he was going to make it, but early on in preseason, it was not looking like that. So yeah, should be fun. I think every team who made it has strengths in their own way. I mean, I, as Team Clark, finished 4-1 this year against teams who made the playoffs. You know, a little bit of a up and down last couple weeks. I got some injuries going on, so we'll see what happens there. Like, yeah, Mile High Club, he was 1-3 in his last four games. Like, kind of stumbling and bumbling down the road, but scored enough points throughout the year. You know, he's 1-1 versus Shefty, who he has to play as the number three seed. Shefty's 3-1 in his last four games, 8-2 in his last 10 games, which included an 8-game winning streak. He's 1-1 versus Mile High Club. Like, again, he definitely fits that category of like hottest team or one of the hotter teams coming into the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah. And then in the Timberlake, like I said, Juicy J is 3-2 versus playoff teams, but overall just the best record in the league and been killing it. Basie, Bubba's Arms of the Yinzers, 3-1 last four games. Scored over 300 points twice this year. Like, he's, again, the equivalent of the kind of the Cowboys and the Corolla and all that. I think it's fitting because there's been games.
The Vulture still. He's got Zach Moss, who apparently isn't going to go somewhere to die. And like,
yeah, it's just weird.
And Noah Brown is now relevant because Tank Dell is hurt. So, you know,
yeah, all it's just these, the, yeah. It just is what it is. And then he very much could score 175 points in the first round matchup, or he could score 350 and we'd be like, okay, cool.
Sweet.
And then, yeah, Pablo's 3-1 last four games. He's got up over 300 points at one point. He did score closer to 200 most weeks, but he's got some sneaky stuff going on. So I don't know. I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be a fairly competitive playoffs. I do think, like, I mean, these all are good teams. Like, I think even the whole Pablo, Casey, battle to the end, it's like, yeah, both, you know, they're 6-8. Those aren't like the prettiest records, but it's like they both have won some big games and played well. And so Pablo getting in, I think it's cool. So I don't know. What do you think are some keys or key players for each team?
Yeah, I'll start with your team. I was just looking through them again. I think the first two that I'm going to say are not people that I would necessarily say have to have like strong games, but they just have to be consistent for a period. So like Justin Jefferson for your team, like, just can he get back on track, like, after being injured? Like, he's been out for a while. His first like four games of the season, 28, 27, 30 and a half, 27. Then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then his first game back was 4 and got hurt.
Like, yeah.
So it's like, can he come back and be healthy? Like, I hope so. Cause it's kind of a crucial like spot for your team.
Yep.
You know, is that,
yep.
Any thoughts on your team? Who's a person for your team?
I think all my wide receivers have to play well. I think the Cortland Sutton trade was like a low key like MVP trade for me. Like, just like,
man, he's about getting him at the right time.
Balled out the last couple weeks, and like, that's been huge because my running backs have been so up and down this year. So I literally put health, like, the key player for me is health. Like, if guys are healthy, I'm not too worried about their point potential. It's like Raheem Mostert every week is supposed to be done. Like, he's just supposed to be done, and he keeps balling out. Najee Harris has had a little bit of a revitalization-ish kind of, maybe. So my keys really are going to be my 1-2 punch of Dak and Henry. Like, I need them to be – I need Dak to remain a top three quarterback, and I need Derrick Henry to really play Derrick Henry football.
Right.
For just like two games. Yep. Just two games. That's all I need.
And, just two solid games.
That gives me a shot. So, yeah. But yeah, my wide receivers, they could be the most powerful unit for me, or it could just be like they're all injured and not in the scheme that week. It's weird.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What about like Mile High Club or Shefty, one of those two teams? Who do you, maybe both of them, who you got as kind of key players?
I had for Shefty, I had, and it's hard because I don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the season, but sure. I said Jalen Hurts playing all the way through the season is going to be major for them. Now, what's working in their favor is the Eagles have like not been great the past couple of weeks, which might help him. Yep. But if they all of a sudden turn it on and they lock up like first round, but like all of this sort of stuff, that's going to be really unfortunate for Shefty's team.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, I think the next person on his team that needs to be consistent is he's got to figure out that like running back position, because he's got Jalen Warren in as his like flex running back right now.
Yep.
So it's like that, if that's what he's going to run with, he needs that position of Jalen Warren to be consistent, for this next season, which has not been the case so far outside of like two games in a row, but
he's in like
week 10 and 11. So,
yeah, well, he's in like a pure timeshare with Najee Harris.
Absolutely. Yeah. So he has to get lucky for the next couple of weeks with
Yeah. I said Hurts and Eckler because I kind of went the same way. Like he needs the running back. And he spent the capital to get Eckler. So he just need those guys have been, Hurts has been his best player all season.
Yep.
So I think if he gets, he just needs the 1-2 of those guys to really play consistently for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then for my high club, I said it's been his Achilles heel. He won the championship last year because he got some key play down the stretch, but really his Achilles heel has always been his wide receivers.
Yeah.
And so I said Ayuk and Devontae Smith, the two guys he brought in this year, like it'd be nicer for his sake, like to get a big game or two from one of those guys, not even the same day, but if one of them each week can go off.
Yeah.
That's going to be super helpful. They kind of are a similar receiver type, or like some games they're targeted a lot, and other games it's like three targets and two catches for 21 yards. You know, it's like, how do they get forgotten? And then you look at the teams they play for, but,
the nice part about Brandon Ayuk is he hasn't had a game under 14 and a half points since week 7. So that's nice. There was a bye in there. Yep. Devontae Smith is like very similar. He has not had a game under 15 points since week 8. Well, last week he only had 12, but 12 is not terrible. It's not great though.
Yep.
Nico Collins, I think might benefit. I think he got hurt last week. But it's like Nico Collins. There was always that, like, is it a Tank Dell week? Is it a Nico Collins week? Is it a Tank Dell week? Is it a Nico Collins week? Like, this might have worked out in his favor a little bit.
Yep.
Last week was awful for the Houston Texans, just all the way around. But I had like, again, just like, I don't think he has to worry about Javonte Williams. Like, I think he's kind of coming into his own. Like, what now that Walmart Russell Wilson's like figuring it out. So I think, the hard part is he like doesn't seem like TKO has that other running back besides Deontay Foreman.
Which won it for him last year.
So he's like Adam Thielen is his flex player right now, you know?
Yep.
Which for a while we were all like, oh, Adam Thielen's not dead yet.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past couple of weeks, it's like, oh, maybe he is dead. I don't know.
And I'm okay saying flex, because for a lot of these guys, I a lot of teams, I did put like the flex position as like their key, like who's going to be that one extra player that you get to play from any position, you know? And, you know, I'm just with like with Bubba, like I think with him, Hopkins, Moss, like he needs like they're these guys who is like we said are either dead or old or are they gonna be used? Like, but I really put the flex position. Like he just it's gonna be is he gonna get enough kind of extra points? Like that's really what the flex position offers you. It's just kind of a for some guys it can be 20 extra points, but for a lot of us it's kind of like 10 to 12 extra points that in a lot of games can really push you over the top. And so like for Bubba having to play Noah Brown there, it's like okay, like does he get the 12 points, does he get the 15 points? Like it's like that's gonna be key in my opinion.
He's got James Conner on the bench right now, so he'll come in as a flex spot fill for him there. But like he also plays for Arizona. I think one of the biggest things I wrote for Bubba was he just needs Kenneth Walker to not be streaky like he's been over the past like five or six games.
Dude, yeah.
Just to be consistent. Because like his past, let's see, since week eight, it was 10.5, 6, 31, 3.5, out for 2 weeks, 12.5.
Yeah.
His first four games of the year were 14, 26.5, 39, 21.5, bye week, 27, 27.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you can get first half Kenneth Walker, but this is what I kind of joked about with him. I was like, Kenneth Walker gets hurt. Like that's the dangerous part of trading away your soul for him is he does get hurt the longer the season goes on. We've known like that's happened every year. And so he just needs him to be consistent. Like that's what he needs him to like find that next.
And the danger for Bubba is this is where we laugh about the whole like, vulture type thing is he's relying on Zach Moss and it's possible we get 1 week of Zach Moss and Bubba needs him for 3 weeks.
Or we get a Samaje Perine or whoever it was that he had that 1 year where it's like, Bernard. That's who it was. Giovanni Bernard.
Like, and maybe Noah Brown, his Giovanni Bernard this year, but it's like he realistically like Jonathan Taylor is not out for the rest of the season. Like he could play, he's doubtful this week, but they haven't ruled him out yet. And realistically he could be back next week then. So now Bubba is relying on Connor and whatnot, assuming he gets past Pablo, who I think for Pablo, like he's going to come down to flex position. Is Gus Edwards the guy? And
that
was
mine.
Used?
Was Gus Edwards?
Like,
yeah,
yeah. Like it's one of those weird.
Is it going to be a Lamar Jackson throwing week? Is it going to be a Gus Edwards rushing week? Is it going to be a defense scoring touchdown weeks? Like, it's the beauty of the Ravens is they win so many different ways, and it's the sucky part. About having them as fantasy players.
Yep. Debo, his receiving core of Metcalf, Pittman, and Debo can really play with a lot of teams. Like that's a solid trio of receivers. Each one of those
Sam Laporta as a tight end too, like
any one of those guys at any point can go for 30 some points and it just be like not a shock, right? So it's and Russell Wilson is doing just enough. He still has Joe Mixon, who even though Chase Brown is coming on of late, like it's kind of helping Mixon. But in that flex he's got Jalin Hyatt, you know what I mean? Like it's just again, it's the little things with like who's going to get him over the hump, right? He either needs the trio of receivers to go off, Wilson to go back to 2018, or like something from like a Gus Edwards. Like he needs 20 points from Gus Edwards. So,
and then
what about
Williams, right?
I said any of his current or former Lions players. Stafford, Goff, or Montgomery. Like it really is like his quarterback play is his Achilles heel this year.
I wrote he needs Taysom Hill to play quarterback. Like they need to still just not have their quarterback position figured out in New Orleans and have Taysom Hill come in and throw a couple passes. Because he's literally done that the past like 3 or 4 weeks. He comes in and runs the Wildcat and you just don't know what's gonna happen.
Derek Carr, who gets just randomly injured with some new injury every single week. And then
Jameis Winston comes in and you just, God knows what's going to happen when he lets the ball go out of his hand. Bro, yeah. Nearly, like, it was funny. The commentators were like, oh, we're going to have the Winston effect or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he nearly throws a pick that the Lions player, who I think it was like Kirby Joseph or something, goes, it's going to have a pick six. It slips through his hands right into Chris Olave's hands. So it's just like,
oh my gosh.
The most Jameis Winston thing ever.
Yeah. Joe's getting a ton of production out of Etienne. Pollard's coming on late. We know who his receivers are, Lamb, Chase, and Evans. Is he going to continue to get the production from Montgomery? And will Goff or Stafford step up and have their which we know is possible, big games, mm-hmm. right? Like, are they going to get that? Yeah, I think Taysom Hill is actually a little wild card because he's a tight end, but can do so much for them. But yeah, I really think it is going to be one of those. It's going to be his trio of Lions or former Lions who really make or break for him.
Yep, I agree.
So
yeah, man.
Well, maybe let's just go quickly round by round. You know, so first matchup would be Mile High Club and Shefty, and then Basie and Champ. Like, who do you got in those two matchups?
Oh man, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be this year. I think
that's why I said I think it's going to be a really competitive year. Like, I think this is actually a good playoffs this year.
I think Mile High Club is going to pull it out simply because the 49ers seem to be hitting their stride at the right time.
That's a good point.
And between Brock Purdy possibly being MVP this year, like,
that insane. Can I say something real quick on that? That borderline feels like they're trying to make him Brady. Can I just say that in the atmosphere?
Oh, dude, it feels a little forced. Oh, it felt like it since the beginning.
Okay,
since the minute he stepped on the field, it feels like they're trying to do that.
He is definitely playing amazing, and the some of the language that's used about, like, he only throws like screens and crosses, like, no, he has like more air yards than a lot of guys in the NFL.
He actually
is slinging it. Like, he's playing really good football. I don't know if he's the MVP even of his own team.
Yeah,
like CMC, like, some of these guys would like to have a conversation. Anyway, sorry to cut
it
you
does
off. So,
no it does yeah. It does in some ways feel like the 49ers versus the Eagles in some way in this mm-hmm. champion in this matchup, because it's like Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown on one side, right? It's Brock Purdy, Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk on the other, you know. And it's like the 49ers seem like they're catching fire at the right time, and it feels like the Eagles are losing some steam as of late. So that's why I think I'm going to go with TKO in this one. But
I would love for TKO to win. I chose Shefty just because I think I chose it more on potential. We've just seen the explosion that can happen. Yeah. And some of his guys haven't had those type of games in a minute. Mm-hmm. So it feels due.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have decent matchups. Like, it's fairly green in terms of opponent's rank for him this week.
Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs does play Dallas, though.
Yeah. And he's
hard.
He's super inconsistent this year. But, I mean, yeah, the Gibbs has the 31st ranked run defense, and Brown and Hurts are playing the 27th ranked passing defense. Like, there's just enough there that I'm like, those guys have a lot of firepower. So I said Shefty over that, but yeah.
It could go either way, though.
That one to me is more of a toss-up than the Basie versus 2019 champ.
Yeah.
I do think Bubba pulls it out.
I think so as well. I think he wins it. I just think he has more, even though we talked about some consistency things that would be great to see.
Yep.
It just feels like there's too many like holes and unknowns with Pablo's team. Yep. Gus Edwards, who's gonna show up this week for the Ravens? Nobody knows. You know?
Yep. Justice Hill might be back. Like, who knows?
yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Bubba's just, it's obviously it's fantasy football, so you can't use the language. Bubba's been here before. But I think I could say that, meaning like the guys that he has are on teams that are going to keep playing.
Yep.
If they're healthy. So Tyreek Hill is the big health question, right? Twisted the ankle. Wife says, get the F back out there. So he goes out and plays the rest of the game. Doesn't do much, but he plays. It's that whole balance of like, there's a little more answers than questions to Bubba's roster.
Yep.
So
yep. For sure.
So then conference finals in the Carter, you have Team Clark versus Mile High Club. And then you said Timberlake would be Juicy J versus Basie. Who do you got winning those matchups?
Yes. I have TKO beating you.
Okay.
In that, because I'm slightly worried for your team about how good the Dallas Cowboys are right now and whether Dak continues to play or not.
Yep. I respect that.
And Tennessee sucks. So will they keep like having Henry be out there? I just don't know.
Yeah.
And it seems like Amon-Ra St. Brown as of late. Like, I love the guy, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yep. No, I put Shefty over me. Similar reasons. There's just, I think as fun as my team looks, there's still a lot of injury and question marks. And
do they keep playing Justin Jefferson? Like,
yeah, they just
I don't know.
They won that other night. So it's like, they're not out of the playoffs, like they're still in the playoffs still. So it's like, it still is like, they're still fighting, but is he actually healthy? You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, I said, again, I've just been on the Shefty wagon the last couple of weeks where it's like, I respect the crap out of Adam for how he's built his team, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his, you know, 8 or whatever it is, starting offensive players are guys he's traded for this year. Like, it's just like, he's done the true one season fantasy style rebuild. And it's like, but they're all guys who are playing incredible this year. So it's hard to argue against them till we see them not.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
And then what about Juicy J versus Basie?
I'm trying to think, hang on. I have currently, I want to say Juicy J, but I also have a hard time going against the glass cannon at the same time, because the Dolphins are currently fighting for like a first round bye in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, are they going to want to come out swinging and try and secure that over the next couple of weeks? Like, is that more important to them or not? I think if it is, they're going to be a crazy show to watch over the next couple of weeks. And if that happens, I think Basie could win it, but
yeah,
that's a stretch.
So you're not saying Basie?
So I'm not saying Basie. Okay. I would like to say Basie, but I think Joe Williams is going to make it past Basie.
Okay. I agree with you that Joe makes it past Basie. I wouldn't be shocked, as much as we've said maybe the opposite, I wouldn't be shocked if Basie makes it interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
But as much as we say that, I wouldn't be shocked if Basie loses by 75 points.
Yeah, I mean, but it's also hard because Williams has Jared Goff and Matt Stafford, who have been extremely inconsistent as of late. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I still think Joe has more consistency in his like wide receiver. I think his wide receivers will probably be the people that carry him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, so then your championship, the Holy Grail, you have TKO, the Mile High Club, versus Joe Williams, Juicy J. Who do you got winning that?
I'm going to give it to TKO. I can't bet against the 49ers right now, and he's got 3 killer 49ers players on his team.
I respect that. I said
it's hard. It's hard to go against them.
I said Shefty versus Juicy J, and I picked Shefty over Juicy
J. Ooh, okay. All right.
I think it'll be one of the closer championships we've had in a long time. I think we're looking at an under 20 point victory. Like, I think it could be under 10 points. They're just the two hottest teams in the league all season. mm-hmm. like at this point, like since like week five on, they've been the best teams. The games they lost have been close games. Like it's just a lot of firepower. And to your point about like the Eagles, like because they're not playing well, that means they have to keep playing.
It's true.
It's what it feels like. And
if they, if they start to turn it around.
So yeah, Juicy J, Shefty takes it. So yeah, should be fun. Any other?
We're usually way off on this stuff, so don't listen too closely to us.
This really could be the year of like Mile High Club versus Pablo, like and Pablo wins it. Like this could be the redemption year for Pablo.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Gus Edwards MVP.
That'd be wild, but it's possible. We've seen it in the GC. It just takes one dude.
But dude, we saw it last year. We saw it last year with TKO.
Mm-hmm.
Squeaked in by a half a point or whatever it is.
Any other just thoughts as maybe as we close or
Taylor, what the heck? Why are you hoping that I get stat corrected by half a point?
It doesn't help you. I think he miswrote it. It's like he wants Casey to get
he wants a stat correction to happen so Casey either passes and either way. So if I gain a point, then Casey gets a better one.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. That's all I got to say. It's just like, why, man?
Because he owns Casey's draft pick.
But Casey and I are basically the same team this year. 6-8.
Yeah.
Half a point difference.
It goes from like the fourth pick to the fifth pick or whatever. The fifth pick to the fourth pick.
Like we're related or something. You know.
Yeah. Brothers.
Brothers.
Dude, 7-7 broad. Bro could have easily been
9-4. We said that last year too.
Wild. Yeah, and honestly, I do think this would be one of the most competitive playoffs, and I think more than ever, like, health is just going to be such an important thing down the stretch. Mm-hmm. It always is, but this year just feels more than ever, like, since there's been so many injuries, but there's also been so many guys who just keep playing and don't have issues, so it's going to be a good run.
It'll be fun.
It's going to be fun.
I'm excited to watch and trash talk a little bit during the playoffs since I'm not in it anymore. It'll be great. It'll be super fun.
Yeah, but, that's a good point.
Hey, you know, whatever happens will happen, and we'll be back in a couple weeks to recap it all here on the Gentlemen's Club podcast, a place where we come to talk about the best fantasy IDP keeper dynasty league that has ever existed on the face of the planet. We love doing this for you all. And for our amazing audience in Indonesia that apparently listens to us too. So way to go, gang. But anything else you want to say, Clark?
Good luck to you all. It'll be a good time.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, man. We'll be back and we'll talk soon.
All right.
Later. Peace.